how you either frame the day or begin the day, I think, does set the tone, whether we realize it or not, for what comes after.
Welcome to the WFO Life Podcast. Buckle up for interviews, insights, and practical discussions, and the occasional intellectual oddity, all designed to help you master self, master craft, and accomplish any life mission. Good afternoon, Chris. How are you today?
Probably about like most people right now, just trying to manage basic life.
So. Yeah, I thought we were, you know, we were kind of putting our notes together this week about topics we were interested in. And it's funny, we both came across one that was very similar. And I think it's because everyone I bump into in my clinical life and my social life are all trying to deal with things. They're just trying to deal with life being different with the whole COVID situation and quarantining and masks and everything else. It seems like everybody is trying to just deal with life right now. And it was funny, our notes were very similar, so I thought we've got to hit a topic like this.
Yeah, I mean, I find myself, even though we talk about it a lot and read and try to reflect and keep from getting in these ruts, I think that the nature of things right now, almost regardless of how much you focus on it, you find yourself slipping into the, I don't want to be overly dramatic, but it can be like the life pit of despair, you know, where you're just like, do I spend time with the kids while they're homeschooling, or do I get to that work email, or do I work out, or do I, you know, it's like a whole series of things. And I try to put them in their proper place. So I think hopefully the topic today will be, something common that folks are dealing with right now.
Yeah. And jumping on that as well, I think there's a natural default for humans psychologically to look for trouble, look for problems. You know, I think that's kind of the way the brain defaults. So
when there's survival.
It's a survival thing. I'm not necessarily thinking it's a bad thing, but it is a tendency to look for problems. And when you're looking for problems, if you're not careful or you're unconscious about that behavior, what ends up happening is everything's a problem. And then it's easy to spiral off into a negative environment. And I routinely run across patients that are struggling with change, and they become unconscious to their thought process and to the negative sort of self-talk and stuff that's going on. So I think, kind of hitting on maybe, what things we can do to combat that when life is happening this way is probably a good idea.
Yeah, I think the first thing, I don't want to turn this into a necessarily a morning routines, but I think in some ways it's logical to, when we're dealing with this topic, it's like how you either frame the day or begin the day, I think, does set the tone, whether we realize it or not, for what comes after. What do you think about that?
I do, because it's a conscious behavior. And I'm going to probably say that several times. It's fresh on my mind because I actually spoke with patients this morning where that came up, where negativity, stress, uncertainty, all of these emotions are negative. And what ends up happening is it's like a subroutine that the brain starts to play, and we start going down this road of just enacting negative things. And if we have conscious behaviors that redirect us specifically every day, I think that's a big way to get out of that, or at least recognize it when it's happening.
Yeah, I think I go back to I guess our most basic makeup as humans. We talked about, being wary of danger as a survival mechanism. But, we've talked about before, you can't let that creep in too much, because we do have reason and we have some other things as human animals that we need to embrace. Because if we don't, then we'll get into that negative downward spiral of the fight or flight. And you know, it can start off with something as similar or as easy as, you know, hitting the snooze a few too many times versus just getting up, because then right. you've started the cycle. Well, you know, now I have 15 minutes less to get ready. And when you look at the cost benefit, did that really give you that much more rest, or did it just, you know, set you up for a stressful day because now you have 15 minutes less to get ready and do the things you have to do, you know, take a shower, you know, grab something to eat, you know, get your kids ready. So I think that we have to really almost start the night before, but especially when your eyes open, you can't get in that fight or flight mechanism to start the day, because it's really hard to recover from that, I think.
Absolutely. Mm. Man, think about what I know you've got some examples of what success, let's call it successful, people that are trying to master, you know, master life, master, you know, stress and stay conscious every day. Can you talk about some examples of people that and activities they might do?
Yeah, I guess, you know, starting back to a reference that we both appreciate, and I hope more and more people are starting to embrace it, you know, back to the Stoic days of Marcus Aurelius, you know, he talked about, you know, when you get up in the morning, you know, just be thankful and think about, you know, what a privilege it is to have another day and to be alive. And I know in modern terms, you know, psychologists have, you know, recommended, you know, gratitude journals and things like that. But I think if you're just mindful about, you know, when you get up, you know, take some breaths and think about, you know, what, especially if you're healthy, right? I mean, you know, even if you're dealing with something chronic or something nagging, you know, if you wake up that day and you're reasonably healthy and not dealing, you know, with severe, you know, life-threatening things, I mean, be thankful for that, you know, that you have a day to get up and go about your life's work. And I think starting out with that basic gratitude, whether you're, you know, as deliberate as having a gratitude journal or getting up and meditating, I think it can be as simple as just having that attitude that you're thankful to be, you know, having another day on earth. And sounds overly simplistic, but I know it helps me when I think like that.
Yeah. What I've heard that called is setting intention for the day. So you might, sometimes if I am laying in bed in the morning, one of the first things I try to do is put, even if it feels like I'm forcing it there, like, I'll be honest, I've been doing a daily running thing. I'm setting some long-term goals for a personal endurance feat. And there's days that I wake up and I don't feel like doing it. There's days that I think, oh, you know, I got in late last night. I don't feel like getting up. But what I'm noticing is that if I set, even while I'm still laying in the bed, the alarm goes off, I set an intention. Today, I'm going to accomplish X, Y, Z. Or today, I'm going to be focused on this particular thing. I'm going to accomplish a certain thing. I actually just say that to myself in my head, you know, as the day starts. Or today, I'm going to be relaxed and receptive to, you know, my work or things that my family needs. Just setting that, I've noticed stating it ahead of the day makes a huge difference. Your mind and subconscious, I believe, will try to follow that. And so I'm getting this from Rex Howes, you know, and I know he talked about a lot of things similar to this, but I really do that. It's actually one of the morning habits that I have started and managed to get to stick as a habit. And I'm using it all the time now, and I really like how it drives my day.
Well, and I was going to say, I know for me, it almost becomes like a game with yourself, whether it be, you know, sticking to a morning thought process, meditation. You know, you talked about getting up and you know, getting a streak of running going on. And I know for me, what I find is I start stacking away those victories in my head, right? You know, and then if I get frustrated with myself and try to hold myself accountable when I have a day where I miss that. So I think, you know, whether it be starting a fitness or running streak, you know, there's some really cool apps I've used before that, you know, almost give you like check marks. Like you have like the five things that you really want to do every day regardless. And then, you know, it gives you like a little visual thing, and you get that little dose of positive hormones when you're like, you see, you have five, you know, bubbles, and then at the end of the day, you have five check marks. And so I think, you know, anything you can do to stack up those victories and get a routine that's healthy, that you miss it when it's not there.
Wait, is that like a productivity app, or is that actually built for that purpose of just sort of, you know, getting the dopamine hit? And I mean, is that what app are you talking about?
There's several. I'll put it in the show notes. There's several okay. I've used, but yeah, I mean, they're kind of both. It's if you look it up in the App Store, or you know, the Android version of the App Store, the Play Store, I think it's called on the Android phones. But I think it is in the productivity apps, and you can set it up however you want. I mean, some of them, it's got predetermined things that you can, you know, select, or you can select the verbiage and do it yourself. And so you're kind of creating your own, you know, daily test, so to speak. And then what it does is like every day it'll pop up, and you can set it up to remind you at the beginning and the end of the day, or certain times of the day. When you know, the way I did it is most of the things that I programmed in there, I wanted to have done by like 10 o'clock in the morning.
Right.
And then so like at 10:30, it would pop up, and you know, it says like, have you, you know, done your reading? Have you, you know, done a gratitude journal? Have you worked out, et cetera? And so, but yeah, I'll put the links in the show notes. But I know I actually need to get my phone did an update, and then it kind of stripped out some of my notifications. Right. So I need to get, because I really appreciated, you know, whether you want to call it that, I'm sure there's the dose of dopamine that you get in there. It's a little bit more productive to get it from that than, you know, checking the likes on your Facebook feed, you know? Right. So yeah, that's
so technically what I do is I have a thing in my, it's in the Google Calendar. And mm-hmm. so it pops up, and I call it the morning warm-up routine. And mm-hmm. it changes a little bit. And again, I guess we're talking morning routines because that's our tool. That's how we've done this. Yeah. But I literally start mine with – it actually pops up in the morning on my phone, and it says glass of water, start coffee process, stoic philosophy reading section, stretching 10 minutes, or I put slash yoga. And then I have a three sets of push-ups, 10 air squats three sets of 10 push-ups, 15 air squats, and 25 crunches. And then it says workout. And that's like the end of my morning routine. Mm-hmm. I do that pretty consistently most days of the week. But I like the idea. It doesn't have like a way to check it off. It just pops up every day. So I kind of like that idea. Yeah, it's just a reminder. And what I did with my runs is I started putting that, some kind of app popped up. I don't even know what it is, but some kind of app popped up. And I think I told Siri, hey, set a reminder for me. It's probably going to do it here. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Anyway, and then Siri started popping that up, and I was able to hit the little button like you're talking about and kind of get that, you know, little, all right, done, you know. And it's kind of rewarding to do that. But these are little positive tricks that people can use to keep themselves on track.
Yeah, I think continuing this theme, you know, going back to the Stoics, I think they even started – as quickly as, you know, sometimes it just sucks to get out from under the covers. Right. You know, and it reminds me of a kind of a joking dig that we used to do when we were spending some time in the field in the Marine Corps, because sometimes, yeah, we would just, you know, we wouldn't even set up tents. We'd just like walk in the woods until it got dark. And then we had, you know, a sleeping bag that had a waterproof sack on it, and we would just zip ourselves up in a bag and sleep, you know, wherever we stopped for the night.
Right.
And if people were screwing up early in the morning, you know, some of the senior leaders would be like, you know, hey, Story, you know, you never got out of the bag, did you? You know, you're still in the bag is where you're at. just saying, you know, right. Like, you know, you didn't even, you know, mentally get out of your sleeping bag. And so it was kind of funny. And there's like a lot of analogies to that, saying, you know, it's like, you know, are we as humans, were we meant to huddle up and stay warm under blankets? I think it's one of the things that, you know, it says in the meditations, Marcus Aurelius, it's like, you know, you have to have that mindset, like regardless of how you know, uncomfortable sometimes it is just to get out of bed, you know, you have to kind of tell yourself, you know, were you made to stay in a, you know, nice warm cocoon, or were you given, you know, all these things, these gifts we have as humans, you know, reason and, you know, the just as simple as their ability to walk on 2 feet and, you know, solve complex problems, you know, go to work, take care of your kids. It's like, those are the things you were built, and put on the earth to do. So, you know, you're selling yourself short if you're saying, hey, you know, I mean, it, you know, I guess it's nice to say, I just want to lay in bed today. But, you know, the more you can get out of that mindset and realize, hey, you know, you, like we talked about earlier, you're lucky that you're, you know, able to get up and attack another day. So I think it's just about, you know, putting that dose of, you know, mindset in a positive direction to start the day.
Yeah, I mean, we have to be uncomfortable at times. I mean, I think that's, I think people that wake up every day and think it's supposed to be comfortable every day, I think they're misleading themselves, because there are supposed to be difficult things we do. If you don't do difficult things, painful things even, sometimes it's hard to recognize when things are good. You know, yeah. It's if you don't you know, look at, challenge yourself to do difficult things, life just gets softer and softer till you're not accomplishing anything. Yeah, this morning, I know we post a lot, you know, we try to encourage people on the Future Focus Health Network, especially the fitness topic. And mm-hmm. I know you and I both post things occasionally in there, workouts and different stuff. And I had a guy mention to me one time, he goes, man, it's easy for you guys. I see that you're already, you know, doing this and you posting all these workouts. And I guess it was making them feel like, you know, gosh, that's so hard, and you guys really have it all together and everything. And my point for posting those is not to show people that look how good it is. I actually point out that many times I'll often point out, like today is a great example. I got up and I felt awful. Like I rolled out of bed and I thought, there's no way. You know, I got in late. I had to drive in from San Antonio, Texas last night, and I was really tired. And I thought, but no, I'm going to do this every day. You know, just gonna hammer this run out and get it in. And so I literally didn't even do the coffee. I didn't do my morning routine. I just mm-hmm. said, this is really important that I get this today. And I physically didn't feel well. My legs were a little dinged up and things like that. I literally just rolled out of bed and I went down the road, and I went out so slow the first, yeah. you know, half mile, just chugging along. And by about halfway through a 5K run, I thought, I feel a little better, broke a sweat. By the time I got back, I felt normal again and I felt good. And yeah. I think we just have to take that first step. And I promised myself that I was going to keep doing that. I haven't stated this out loud yet, but to everyone else, but to me, my personal goal right now, I'm going to run at least a 5K every day for a year, 365 days.
That's
just
awesome.
I don't know why I decided I wanted to do that. I've been kind of running and, you know, training, running a lot. But I thought, this is something I just want to make sure that I do, because it's something for me. And I've already noticed I'm almost a week into it, and I had one rough day already. And I know mm-hmm. that there's going to be scheduling issues, like I'm traveling this week, I'm going to have scheduling stuff. So it's not just the physical challenge. It'll be, you know, probably there's days that I'll have just time challenges, you know, to get that done. But
yeah, I mean, it reminds me immediately of something exactly like Brian Chontosh talked about, you know, how well our bodies are at adapting to the new normal, right? So I think by you doing that, you're signaling your body, you know, even those days you're working past, you know, the rough miles, your body's like, hey, this is our new normal. And eventually, I mean, you probably already are adapting and going to be, you know, way stronger on the back end.
Yeah, and it's funny that, you know, we've done all these interviews and we put this material out for our listeners, but the reality is we're benefiting from it as well. Interviews with Chontosh, the interviews with Rex Howes. Recently, I've been working on trying to get an interview with a guy that, you know, did 50 Ironman triathlons in 50 days.
Crazy.
And these are crazy human feats of endurance. And I know that part of the reason I made that decision to say, this is what you're going to do, even though it's maybe some people go 5K every day, big deal. What's, you know, it's just 3 miles, who cares, you know? But for me, it's like, no, that would be a challenge for me, because I know what my social situation's like. I know what my travel situation, my work situation. Mm-hmm. I know that not just the physical aspect, I'm going to have to make some kind of dedicated decision in my head to do this. And already I've experienced one day where I thought, wow, this is rough today. But you do it because it's difficult. You have to embrace that. And already I feel more confidence after it. And it's like, okay, I did it. I committed to it. And I don't know where that's going to go for me. I don't know what wall I may hit or whatever, but it's kind of exciting. And it was a goal that it stuck with me that I think this is something I want to do. I just think that also in a time, you know, circling back to our existing topic, in a time when things seem a little chaotic and out of control, that's something I control. That's something I say, that's mine. Nobody can take that from me. I deal with it, and I make that accomplish for myself, regardless of what's going on around me.
Yeah, and I'll say to comment on that, and maybe move on to the next piece of our talk today, that, I mean, that's a combination of building mental and physical resiliency, which none of us can really get too much of.
Right.
So, it reminds me of, you know, we can take a lot of good notes from nature, and, you know, the Stoics reflected on it a lot, but they talked about, you know, you don't see plants and birds and, you know, ants and bees and spiders, you know, you just see them going about their tasks, you know, putting their world in order as best they can. And, you know, for us to not do our version of the same, it's like, you know, humans not willing to you know, be a human being, you know. So I think I've seen some funny memes where it talks about, you know, do tigers wake up and, you know, worry about they're a little hungover, or, you know, they got a couple bills they're going to have a hard time paying, or do they just, you know, walk around, you know, biting and killing stuff and being a tiger, you know? Right. So, I mean, obviously not exactly an analogy, but the same thing. It's like, hey, you know, regardless of what's going on, you know, you can't check out. You gotta get up and face things and set yourself up for success as best you can.
I think that's great advice, and I guess a person could not do that. Mm-hmm. But when we were talking about mastering self, mastering craft, accomplishing any mission, a person who gets up and says, okay, today wasn't perfect, or I've got some setbacks physically, mentally, emotionally, things aren't going my way initially, but you go ahead and go through that, because that's what would happen in nature. You have to. I think that's what helps, you know, push success. I think that's where people start to accomplish things in their life.
Springboarding off of that, I think that the next thing that might be cool to examine is, you know, reflecting on, you know, what negative might happen in the day. So I think every day, you know, taking a moment to acknowledge, you know, the potential that, you know, something unexpected or bad, you know, can happen. I know, you know, one of the examples that I thought about, and I know you experienced it recently, is, you know, getting a flat tire on the way to work. You know, you can think about it, like, it's happened probably to most of us. It could happen again. You know, if you could have a rough day at work, you know, you could have some kind of, you know, tests coming up, and tests can be a lot of things. Obviously, if most of us are out of school, not those kind of tests, but like, hey, I know I'm going to have a challenging work day. My kids have homeschool, and I have to get, you know, two or three different kids at three different places for, you know, extracurricular activities. So just preparing yourself that, hey, when it comes to the end of the day, quote unquote, it's actually going to be, you know, as much or more challenging as what I have to do at the beginning of the day. So I think just, you know, and the point of an exercise like that is not to be negative. It's really the opposite. You know, it's kind of like visualization, you know, for a competition. I think we've talked about that probably with Amy Acuff and other people. It's like, if you visualize like, hey, this could happen, you know, you're preparing your mind for the inevitability that there could be challenges that you're going to have to deal with. And so I think visualizing, you know, sometimes bad things that can happen, you know, we limit that feeling of being devastated, and really, you know, maximizing our ability to be positive even when adversity happens.
Yeah, I mean, anticipating, preparing for challenges is a good exercise. It doesn't necessarily have to be negative, but let's say you have a big meeting with your boss about something critical at work, a mission of some sort, and you know it's a critical, pivotal meeting that you need to go a certain way. Mm-hmm. Well, you might go into a meeting like that blind, without even thinking about it ahead of time, just your presentation, and not anticipating what could happen. Or the day of that, you could take 2 minutes to say, okay, what if this presentation doesn't go? I put all this work into it. I spent hours of my life putting this presentation together. What if they say no? Or what if this, you know, that they don't buy my product, or, you know, that kind of thing. If you do a little bit of just saying, how would I respond to that? What's the best way I would like to respond to that? Then you're already kind of presetting, again, like we talked about earlier, the intentional behavior that you're going to default to if something doesn't go well. What if they tell me no? Then I'm going to either be persistent or have another alternative, or I'm going to simply say, well, I did the best I could. It's not a personal judgment on myself. I'm going to, you know, maybe I'll figure out what I'm going to learn from that shortcoming, that failure, if you will. I'm going to learn from it and move forward.
Yeah, I mean, I think one of the things that popped in my mind when you were just talking there is sometimes, you know, our ability as humans to reason and to think counterintuitively is really what saves us in a lot of cases. And so one of the best bosses I ever had, and one of the best, I guess, teams I was on in the military, we had several people in the group that were really good at when a plan or when certain things, events were going too well or seemed like that they were going too smoothly, they would stop. And essentially what we would call being a red cell, you know, being the built-in devil's advocate. We're like, hey, you know, what are we missing? You know, what are we not thinking about?
Right.
You know, what is something that usually goes wrong up until this point, but hasn't yet, but could rear its ugly head in a really inopportune time. So I think, you know, whether we do it ourselves or, you know, we talked previously about, you know, kind of having a team of, you know, masterminds that we trust, you know, subject matter experts, where it's like, hey, if I'm getting too complacent and, you know, thinking that I got it all figured out, I either have to do it internally saying, hey, you know, no, when I did this last time, you know, I got too comfortable and that this negative consequence happened out of left field. So I think, you know, war gaming, red selling, whatever you want to call it, thinking counterintuitively is something that we should, you know, really build in so that, like I mentioned earlier, not have this devastation effect or, you know, the sky is falling, you know, throw the baby out with the bathwater, you know, extreme, you know, things that come into our heads when life or a day doesn't go our way.
I guess cycling back, you know, we're talking about people being stressed out. Life is different right now for a lot of people. How important do you think the concept of just being aware and mindful, I think so many people get unconscious. They literally, it's like driving a car. You ever driven somewhere and it's maybe a destination you know, you've been 1,000 times and you just get there sometimes. You don't even know, I didn't remember getting here. That's because you're driving on your brainstem. And I think there's so many day-to-day behaviors, even work, even, you know, driving to work, fixing food for the kids, you know, maybe sometimes interacting with our family or spouse can be almost unconscious. How what do you think about mindfulness in the same context?
Yeah, I think that it's really easy to do in some of the examples that you gave, but it's another area where we have to force ourselves to really not be like that, because I think that it can be comfortable and you can say, you know, people are like, oh, I can do that with my eyes closed. But the problem is, like I mentioned earlier, it's okay until it's not okay. You know, it's cool until it's not cool.
Right.
And so I think, you know, being, I think sometimes it's overused, but, you know, being present, being in the moment. But I think, unfortunately, many things in our lives have become so easy that we can do that. And we really, I think, you know, in a text or email exchange we had ramping up to this, you know, I mentioned, something similar about, you know, people today, we lack the ability to do deep thinking. You know, because it reminds me of the same thing. Like you mentioned going on autopilot for all these things. It's like, yeah, you can do that, but you know, you have to, force yourself to not do that, because I think that's when you set yourself up for something, you know, catastrophic. You mentioned like driving. It's like it's all fine, you know, fun and games. You're not paying attention. You're half messing on your phone or texting, and then a deer flies out in front of you, or you know, somebody stops unexpectedly. And if you get too much into that, you know, kind of coasting off your brain stem, it really makes it difficult, you know, when things don't go as your brain is programmed. Then it's like, oh, you know, I recognize this pattern. I know I've done it in scary situations, like going on a hike or going on a long run early in the morning, just kind of going through the motions, one foot in front of the other. And then there's like a hole where there was never a hole. And sometimes, thankfully, you know, I snap out of brainstem mode and, you know, save myself from a broken ankle, you know? So, I think it's easy to do, but dangerous if we don't, you know, kind of be in the present moment. Yeah, I think, you know, the mindfulness thing is something we can't do enough of, especially in our, you know, modern day lives.
To do it, I think you have to have tools. I think that's why we keep drifting back to this concept of having morning routines, you know, maybe reminders, apps, activities. I would like to do an episode on this, on the topic of mindfulness, with the goal being to discuss specific tools. I think that would be a great topic, because we kind of went over to, you know, we kind of hit on it multiple times, and I know we've talked about it in other, you know, podcasts as well, but I think going over it with a specific mindset to deliver maybe the top five tools, if you will, for mindfulness, I think it would be a great idea. And anybody that's listening to this, please go to the WFO Life Tribe inside the Future Focus Health Network. Go in there and ping over anything that you see on how to develop mindfulness. Please ping that over to us as ideas for that, because I think that would be a great topic to move forward with. I know, again, because we're already using some of these tools individually. You know, you have tools, I have tools. But I think so many people, and it's just so fresh on my mind because of my morning so far at the office, there's a lot of people that are unconscious to this. And they're going through their life completely missing the fact that they're reacting to the world rather than directing how they're going to react to things that are going on around them.
Yeah, and I think the key to this is really like preventing anxiety, because you think about, you know, the things that consistently create anxiety, it's because you're not being mindful, you're not in the present moment, you're thinking, you know, what if this happens later? You know, what if you know, you can what if yourself to death and, you know, completely disregard what you have to do in the next hour. And you're thinking right about 10 years down the road. So I think it's, you got to be, you know, really vigilant on things that really affect our ability to make rational decisions, you know, because how many people make, you know, permanent decisions based on temporary circumstances, you know, really to horrible detriment. And absolutely. I think, you know, being mindful can sometimes prevent that. So.
Well, let's start wrapping this. I made notes again, kind of like I did in our last episode as I went through. We went through multiple major points about how one can approach the day to improve their day-to-day, you know, handling of stress and all the things that are coming at us in this strange times. So I wrote down a few things, and I'll say those and then let you kind of close out. But sure. The things I thought about as we went through this material: be conscious, be thankful or grateful, breathe, reflect on nature, prepare for challenges, and I put in parentheses intentionality, and then lastly, be mindful. Any final thoughts?
I think the last thing that I wanted to share that I didn't quite get to was just, you know, figure out a way to embrace discomfort. And, you know, one of the things that I can't remember where I got it from, but, you know, preparation is better than motivation. You know, if you can do things that are purposely hard, then it makes, honestly, things easier when the unpredictable hard things happen. You know, the popular saying in, you know, military and law enforcement is embracing the suck, just making the most of your current situation. And you know, some people take cold showers, some people do, you know, tough physical training in the morning. But either way, I mean, you're building, like I referred to earlier when you were talking about your morning routine, you know, some kind of reserve in mental and physical areas. And you can never go wrong if you can, you know, choose some discomfort that makes you stronger. And then you'll be more prepared for the inevitable discomfort that comes, you know, not of your choosing. So that's all I got.
Man, it's another good topic. I want to invite everyone back to the Future Focus Health Network, specifically the WFO Life Podcast Tribe. That's where we interface with you. Love to hear feedback on these episodes, ideas for new episodes. And certainly if this impacted you, I hope you will leave us a review on iTunes or Stitcher or any of the other web outlets that we have for this show. And we love to hear that. It keeps us motivated and looking for new topics to explore. Chris, have a great afternoon.
You too. Thanks.